Fat boy.
You know we had to do a podcast, right?
What's your name, fat body?
Of course, you're looking food. What the hell?
I'm gonna eat it.
You owe me for one jelly donut!
Fat motherfucker.
Listen to it. My wife said no one did a lot to.
I've got bigger titties than you did!
Bullshit, because nobody fucking had geese back at that point for a bigger guy.
I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but I might be somebody's shot of whiskey.
You can't think about, hey, I need to lose 100 pounds. You think about winning that day.
Fuck it, I want a cheeseburger and a milkshake. Yo, Fatleaps, what's up? And welcome to episode 46 of the Fat Boy Jiu-Jitsu Podcast. Thank you to everybody who has liked, shared, and reviewed the podcast. If you haven't yet, if you can, that'd be great. Give me I appreciate 5 stars, but if you want to give me less, you can. Write a review. It helps get the podcast out there to more people. And would love for more people to listen. Especially, there was something we talked about today on today's show that I know must hit home for a lot of people. Specifically, I don't really mention a lot. But I should. I know. In this episode, we mentioned thoughts of suicide. If you have thoughts of suicide, please reach out to me or the 1-800-273-TALK talk. It's 1-800-273-8255 is the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. So if you have these thoughts, please talk to somebody. If it's not me, somebody. They even do online chats. But I brought this up because I know growing up, especially, there was a time where I would just stare at the mirror and, looking at what, shirtless and what my life was going to be and just thoughts of, doing unhealthy things were just constant. And it was just, it's hard to think that, you're in a place and that you can never get out of, or you can never crawl out of. And I'm here to tell you, because I've lived it, that you can. It's not easy. It's work. But it's definitely worth it. And, something you can enjoy. So, but bringing it up, I had a conversation, the podcast today is with Daniel Gonzalez. He was on episode 38. And, the last time we talked, he was going to compete, and he had competed this weekend. And we wanted to, have him back on so he can kind of share his experience, of his first competition, especially after a massive weight loss. So without further ado, here's my podcast with, Daniel Gonzalez, AKA Sleeve Poppy. Thank you. Yo, what's up, Fatleats? And I'm back with Daniel Gonzalez, AKA Sleeve Poppy. And he just recently competed this weekend. And our last podcast, we talked about him coming back on and sharing that experience with us. And here it is, man. Daniel, how you doing, Poppy?
What's up, Bubba? I'm just, chilling. Hit my first big goal of 2019. Now is to move on and continue the momentum that I built on last year. So let's see where it goes. Let's go down the podcast. The podcast route of tangents and ridiculousness.
So talk to us, man. Tell us how was it Saturday competing for your first time? I know you had some worries leading up to it. I mean, it was your first competition and all, right?
It was my first competition in a very, very long time. So last time I competed was an in-house competition in American Top Team, like freaking, what, 2010? It's a long-ass time ago. And I did one back in like 2011 in California, but it was different. Like the vibe was completely different. This was way more formal. This was, you know, different schools, not just one or two. This was, you know, a whole event. And it was ran really well. Jiu-Jitsu World League does amazing events. You walk in and you could tell the professionalism from top to bottom. You know, I couldn't be any more happier with the event. The intensity was through the roof. You can kind of tell when the adults walked in the room because the intensity kind of stepped up a notch just a little bit. And it was crazy, you know. It was a full 6 week training camp, and I mean that because CTA, the three guys that were competing, you know, kind of the black belt, the head coach Colin, kind of approached us all and was like, hey, if you guys are gonna compete, we're gonna do it right. Take these 6 weeks and we're going to dedicate it for you guys to drill and, you know, kind of tailored class for the last 6 weeks for us. So it was, you know, it was a fun environment for us and for me to really just kind of get that whole fight camp experience, you know, the two a days, you know, me going on my own in the morning for strength and conditioning and then going at night to get my rolls in and get the technique and the strategy in. So it, for me, it was way more intense than anything I've ever done before. And it, you know, I fell short of the ultimate goal. You know, I was, you know, I think as a competitor, you've competed before, you know, you tell yourself beforehand, I'm just happy by going out there and doing my best. That's true. You know, that's true. But as the uber competitive person that I am, I want to win, you know,
don't we all?
I want to win. I want to get the gold. I fell short in the gold medal match, but the dude was legit. He whooped my ass in 2 minutes and subbed me. But I'll tell you what, man, it was having a conversation with a guy after the match. We were both worried about each other. You know, it was, we kind of knew after the first round and we kind of saw each other's performances, we kind of knew that it was going to end up with us at the final round. Mm-hmm. So it was fun. It was intense. I was swinging, I was boxing with giants, you know, cause I'm a short Puerto Rican guy boxing with corn fed white boys and the ultra heavyweights. So I'm not upset. You know, I lost to a good dude. The dude has a bright future ahead of him. And, it's just the amateur leagues and you can, you know, white belts, you could take it for what it is, but you can kind of tell the guys that are going to stick with it and the guys who are just kind of doing it in passing. So, that dude was legit, man. I'm hats off to him. So
you think I got a question. You think though? Cause I've seen a lot of people who, specifically whites and blues who go in and they compete heavy first year, first 2 years, first 3 years. And then bro, they stop coming.
I don't, you know what that it's like anything, you know, I think Chris Howder, you know, famous Dirty Dozen black belt says it best. It's not how much you do it, it's who's left, you know. We'll see in 10 years who's left, you know. I don't plan on stopping. This is a lifestyle for me at this point. I'm gonna compete. I'm gonna try to make it a habit from now on to compete, you know, at least 3 times a year. But like I said, it's for me, it's to scratch that itch, you know, if I get to do some fight to wins or whatever in the future holds. Whatever, but for that guy, if he sticks with it, he's going to be one of those guys that, you know, you could be like, oh, wow. You know, he's a young kid too. He was like 20, you know, make him, you know, 7 years from now, if he's sticks with it, you know, at ultra heavyweight, you could be seeing a legit dude on your hands. You know, Machado guy has that quintessential Machado pressure, Higan style, and you can't be upset with that. You know what I'm saying? He did his job. Like I said, man, it's, with me, you know, I went out there going in that I came in, you know, to sound cliche, I came in from the winner's position, bro. You know, I was 483 pounds, you know, 14 months ago. And I wasn't supposed to be there. I wasn't supposed to compete. I'm supposed to be over 500 pounds and dead. And this whole experience kind of taught me that, you know, it's just it, with God's help and my family, you know, that, that my book isn't over. It's just it's beginning, if anything. So it's interesting. It's been fun. It's a fun experience, man. And it was the intensity and the anxiety, like by Thursday, not even by freaking Monday of last week, I was just ready to, like, I was building it up in my head.
You were itching, weren't you?
I was, you know, oh my, excuse me. Yeah, I was itching. I was ready to do jujitsu to other people. I, you know, crop of a, you never, you know what I'm saying? Like even in the last week up, you know, I've been that guy. Where I started fast and hard and dropped off, and now, you know, this last year where I've been like really dedicated, you know, week consistently. It's been one of those things where you see these guys are going
hey, hold on, pause real
like,
quick.
More, you're like, eh.
Give me one you second, know? Daniel. Give me one second. And we're back. Sorry about the technical difficulties. You see why you need to help sponsor the podcast so we can not have these technical difficulties. So Danny, you were explaining your match, how you felt going in the week of.
Yeah. So it's like last Monday, man. I was starting to get that itch of straight, you know. Like, it's not anxiety, just like that itch of, you know, like let's get this over with, bro. But, you know, kind of like, I hate to say it, you know, I've helped train fighters. I've given, you know, MMA fighters good rounds and other grapplers. I've competed before. And you know how it is when you're getting ready to compete. It's like everything's against you. You know, you go through the flu 2 weeks out, all of a sudden all the things that weren't hurting before start hurting. You know, my shoulder's all jacked up right now from repeated, you know, underhook fighting and crap. And by Monday I started feeling good again, you know, got my energy back, got my cardio back, and my shoulder stopped hurting like right on time. And by last Monday I was ready to go. Like, I was just literally trying to count down the days, just like, okay, let's just, you know, we're going, trying to play the week, try not to go too hard during the week, but still trying to get good rounds in. And, you know, I'm blessed to have, you know, the guys over at CTA to, you know, especially Colin, the head coach here at CTA Irving, you know, experienced black belt, trained under Marcelo for years, and, you know, made the transition over to Kyle Terra team back in 2012. And he just has experience, you know, he's coached a couple of bigger name guys. And he was like, I really like this for being this first time of really taking competition serious. I kind of gave all my confidence to him, you know, and direction, you know, we would sit there and, you know, you never really know who you're going to format. It's kind of anybody, whatever. So it was really concentrating on my strengths and my A game and, you know, but leading up to that last week, it was just, you know, he was just like, dude, just have fun. You know, it's like, you already did all the hard work. You've already done all, you know, you got the worst rounds you're going to get in the gym, you know, just go out there and have fun. And, you know, that day, that's what we did. You know, it was super intense, but after the first match, it was just, you know, we just got into that flow state and, you know, we did what we had fun, man. You know, the best part was when everything was over, I got to root for my teammates. And that was the best part, honestly. That's, you know, awesome. Screw my medal. You know, I wanted to see the other guys win too, because, you know, you get invested in their success too. So
Of course.
I wanted to see them do good.
Those are your training partners. You know, you want everybody to do good.
Dude, yeah, you know, it's a one-on-one sport, but I think, you know, more than anybody else, and a lot of grapplers and boxers will tell you, even though you're out there on your own on the mat and they can't shrimp for you, they can't, you know, they can't pull on the lapels for you. It's a team effort to get to that point. It is. It really is, because without them, you can't get good at anything. Mm-hmm. You know? So you're out there, it's a team effort, and you want to see your teammates do good just as much as they want to see you do good. Of course. You know, and it was fun, man. My nephew came out, and that little toddler was you know, I heard him when one dude was trying to smash my face. He was saying, you know, tío, tío, tío. And I was like, oh, all right, can't let this guy embarrass me in front of the little guy. So gave me a little extra motivation. So it was fun, bro.
That's great. So, yeah, you said you mentioned going over to CTA. I know last time we talked, you had a transition team because they were closing that school, man. How's the new school?
Dude, Kyle Terra and the whole organization is beyond amazing. Like, I've trained at big time. Well, not big time. Okay, American Top Team is as big as it's going to get when it comes to our sport. Like, they're, you know, like Gracie Baja.
But not when it comes American to jiu-jitsu. Team, you know.
Yeah, when it comes to jiu-jitsu, they're as big as it's going to get. But Kyle Terra,
I got I don't the think
pleasure
so.
Of meeting him.
I'm a disagree because I don't think you're too shit. But when it comes to jiu-jitsu, like, I mean, there's a lot bigger teams, you know, most of them on the West Coast, but I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say is it's Kyle Terra and his, just the way he runs things and the way the culture is, it's honestly like a family. And it sounds so cliche, but, you know, it's from, you know, when he came down to do the seminar a couple of weeks ago, he was, you know, he's a savant. First of all, he's a savant of the sport. 100%. He is, you know, what, you know, name any smart person in any field. He's just one of those guys. You know, he's a Neil deGrasse Tyson of freaking jiu-jitsu. That's how, like, to him, jiu-jitsu is simple. You ask a question, he was like, well, this is how you fix it. And you're like, oh, thanks for making me feel stupid. And he doesn't mean to make you feel stupid. It's just, that's his language, you know? And it's just the whole thing, man, from beginning to end. The team that Colin has built, the people that the culture that he breeds at our location, is beyond amazing, man. And, you know, just in this last couple of months that the school has been officially open, you know, because they were also in transition. While I was transitioning out of Red Nova into CTA, he was also kind of in transition from an old location to a bigger new location. So I came in kind of as one of the newer students at the new location, even though I've known Colin for a couple of years now. He was like, dude, you're one of my first students at this new location. He was like, I know you're not new, but you're new to this location. And it was kind of like seeing, kind of helping build something from the ground up. And it was just the camaraderie, the fellowship, the brotherhood, the family, the CTA kind of has this mantra, one team, one family. Like, they live by it. And it's not just a motto.
It's not just words. They really want to live by it.
They live by it. And it's, you know, and not to put anybody's business out there, but it's public knowledge, you know. Colin, his wife, is a breast cancer survivor for the last few years. And everybody there's always pulled it together for him, even including me. Even when I wasn't part of the team, he's a close friend of mine, and you know, everything from, you know, helping out with food, organizing stuff for him, and you know, when I joined the team, he was not only a friend, he's become a mentor at this point. And it's been one of those things where he's texting me on, you know, random occasions, making sure I'm good, you know. And it's just this whole family organization and just a different vibe that honestly, where I have never experienced that before in a jiu-jitsu school, where I'm sure you've trained at jiu-jitsu schools where you go in, even though everybody's nice, there's a little bit of a hostile environment where, you know, they're not necessarily a big competition school, but they're always competing against each other. And there's always a little bit of a, you know, I'm not going to roll with that guy, or I'm not going to roll with this guy. Here, everybody's like, no, we're a team. You know, like, we're going to beat each other up so we can go take it out on somebody else. And it's been an amazing experience so far. And I'm excited. And it was, you know, he knew coming in that I just got promoted to my fourth stripe. And he told me, you know, he pulled me aside, you know, basically day one, right before winter promotions for the rest of the team. And he was like, look, it's not that you don't deserve the blue belt. It's that I need you to learn our curriculum before I can give it to you. He was like, your skills are there. I just need to know that you know our system. So it wasn't like he's not aware. It was more like I need you to get up to par with what I'm teaching before I can, you know, be confident in handing you something that represents me, which I respected. I don't mind putting anything on hold. I really don't. But he leveled with me way before, you know, he didn't set any false expectations. He was like, I need you to learn these, our system before anything else. And, you know, it's been amazing. You know, there it's still jujitsu, but it's a different flavor of jujitsu and a different, you know, take on it. And it's amazing, dude. I mean, you can't argue with, you know, 12-time world champion. You really can't, you know, and there's a reason he does things, and I'm not going to argue with success, you know, straight up, you know, and I can't say much. Like I've drinking the Kool-Aid and I'm over here talking like I'm going to like I'm spilling the Kool-Aid, like for real, like these dudes are amazing. And I can't rave enough about them, because that's how one, and then like I go back to say, it comes down to what Colin and the rest of that team have brought. And it's, they espouse the culture of, we're one team, one family, and we believe in these techniques. And if we believe in them, you believe in them too. And we're going to make sure that it works for everybody.
That's great to hear, man. Yeah, it sounds like you're having an awesome time there. You found a team that you, that's your family, man. And that's great. That's, if everybody found that team, like jiu-jitsu would be bigger, way bigger, you know?
It would. And the thing is, right. And I've been, what, you know, I've been kind of obsessed, I think, especially since I started with CTA, just obsessed with jiu-jitsu more than ever. Just, you know, watching fights, you know, on YouTube, on Fight Pass, on Flow Grappling, you know, just obsessed. And it's like, you see these guys, you know, like Hudson Mateus, and you see these guys that are uberly successful, yet these guys are, you know, they're going around the country, you know, kind of preaching the same things that my coach is preaching. It's like, hey, we're one family. We're gonna teach you guys these tactics to be successful. We're not trying to change you as a grappler. We're just trying to help you get better, be more scientific, do things on purpose. And, you know, it's a culture from top to bottom. And, you know, I think, and this isn't like to blow, because at the end of the day, black belts are humans too. You know, they're not perfect, but when you meet a good person in any walk of life, they say things that make sense, you know, and when they make sense, you take them as nuggets and you add them into your life. It was like, hey, I don't want to change your style. You know, if you're a heavy pressure guy, we're not trying to change your style. We're trying to make it more efficient so it works for you. You know, just like if you're a football player, hey, I know you like to run people over, but let's add a little finesse. That way, when you run people over, you run them more effectively. And when he put, you know, when they put it to you like that, it's almost an analogy of life. Like, this is trying to help me be a better man, because he's teaching me how to do things in a more efficient way. That way I can, you know, all of a sudden, you know, help my wife do something in a more efficient way, because I have a different avenue and pathway that I'm forging in my brain and how to do things. And it's amazing. And I'm telling you, for the first time in 10 years to go out and compete and place, that's not too bad, bro. Especially for a guy that's recovering 500 pounder. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely know what that is. And I know what you mean about fighting the big heavy guys. Cause that's, you know, it's funny. We've both lost a tremendous amount of weight, and I'm still borderline in the ultra heavy division. I've lost like 170 pounds, and I'm still sort of on the ultra heavy, because if I weigh in with a gi, I might be over that 225.
Dude, it's ridiculous, man. So that morning, I went in at my house. I was I was like 322, and then I put on the gi, And I went IBJJF style. I was just wearing, you know, my skin tight underwear underneath and nothing else, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, with the gi, I was 332. I'm like, Jesus, 10 pounds with this gi? Are you kidding me?
Gis are heavy, man. But yeah.
Dude, but you know, and like I text you, we have this kind of and just to kind of not to put our business out there like that, but we have this kind of group chat going with a homeboy and
with David.
I told you, bro, with David, yeah, dude, I blinked on his name so hard. I was about to call him by his handle, and he changes his handle like every 3 days. Excuse me, getting over this damn cold. That I was gonna wear your gi because the plan. My wife bought me the Fuji gi, right, mm-hmm. for the competition, and then I'm over here. We got it tailored, and the sleeves were just way too big. And I was like, dude, it fits fine. It's a good training gi, but I'm not gonna compete with a freaking, you know, like looking like an old school Chinese master where I'm gonna, you know, put my hands in my sleeves and go bow down. I'm not gonna. Right. And I'm like, I'm going to rock the very first gi I bought last year. And it's going to be the black, you know, the black fat boy jiu-jitsu gi.
My Oreo wafer.
And I was like, huh?
I said, my Oreo wafer.
That's right. I was, you know, I'm going to rock that.
Which, by the way, just someone tagged me and said, hey, you know, you should probably not call your gi an Oreo wafer because you don't have Oyo's permission, and someone should let them know. I'm like, fucking hater, man. Okay, thank you. Yes, you're absolutely right. I probably shouldn't be doing that, but I'm doing it.
Anyway, hater. Fuck him. no, I rocked that, dude, and I'm going to tell you.
The pictures look great,
you know, by the way. Many people... Dude, that's all my sister, bro. My sister took those pictures, and she came into support, and she brought her big old fancy camera. She's a photographer, and she was just snapping pictures. And I was like, hey, whatever you do, just tag homeboy and give him credit. You know, and she was like, okay, whatever. And she didn't do it, so I tagged you. So it's all good. yeah, so I'll throw out the place, right? Like after my match was done and I was, you know, I was about getting ready to like take the gi off, and like six dudes, bro, six big motherfuckers came up to me. Bro, where'd you get that fucking gi? That shit's so fly. And I went, fatboyjiujitsu.com.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I mean,
and I was like, check him out. This is the dude that helped me get in shape. He was like, for real? I'm like, yeah, bro.
I didn't help you do anything, man. You did that shit yourself. I didn't wake up and go to the 2 days. You did that. I didn't do any of that. Don't say I helped you because I did it.
Dude, here's the thing, right? It's you didn't help me physically. You didn't hold my hand, right? But the fact that you started a company and a gi line and an apparel line that lets bigger dudes start training without the embarrassment of having a gi that doesn't even close, right? Mm-hmm. That's empowering as fuck.
It and is. No, I agree with you. That is you do not like feel welcomed when you don't have a gi that fits you. That's it. I mean, when you're doing jiu-jitsu and you're doing, everybody's in a gi, but you're in, you know, basketball looking shorts and a fucking
looking gi. Looking like a sambo player.
Yeah. I mean, that's the most, it's so demoralizing. It really is. And you don't want to do, like, it makes you not want to be on the mats.
No, it doesn't. And you know, and last year, and even now, I'm like, right, basically, I'm swimming in the gis that I got last year. You know, the
yeah, you've lost a lot of weight, man.
Dude, I'm swimming in those gis that, you know, the A6, the A6 is, the jacket's too big, but the pants are just meant for somebody that's like 10 times smaller than the jacket. And I'm like, Jesus, are they trying to make me look like a judoka or something? You know, so it's just weird. And weight loss is a weird thing. And I tell people, it's like, weight loss is an awesome thing because you feel great, right? But for me, I like looking good. I like to consider myself a stylish man. It is not so good for my style because what fits today is not going to fit tomorrow. And it's instead of before where it was not going to fit tomorrow because I was gaining too much weight, now it's not going to fit tomorrow because it's too damn big and it looks like I'm in 2004 looking like G-Unit.
But that's, you know what? That is the best problem to have.
It is the best problem to have until it's date night.
She knows what's up. She knows, she like, knows, hey.
She knows what's up when that pee-pee comes out.
You got your go-to. That's when you get your go-to shirts and stuff. You're like, you know what? This is a little slim. Put them a little extra hot in the dryer. Shrink them up a little bit.
Right. That's what's going on right now, man. Where I'm so hesitant to buy new clothes at this point right now.
Oh, it's like, a fucking brain. It's a pain in the ass, dude. I've done it so many. So what I did, I started off as I was about 52 waist, between a 50 and 52. And that really wasn't a true 52 because it was a 50-52, but it was under my belly. Like I would let my belly hang over the belt. And
I know exactly what you're
talking okay.
About.
So yeah. So I probably was really like a 60, 62 ish, but I never wore my pants like high and tight. So, once I started losing weight, I was like, man, these 50s, 52s are too big. So I didn't buy jeans until like 46. And then again, size 42, and then 38s. And now 36s are like, eh.
Yeah, so I have these jeans. They're like joggers that I bought last Christmas. Not this past Christmas, but the year before that. And they were 4X, right? Mm-hmm. 4X, which puts it about, you know, about a 54, 56. Mm-hmm. I'm swimming in them.
Yeah, you can't wear them.
The only thing that's saving me is that they're drawstring jeans. So they're like sweatpants. Mm-hmm. So I can like drawstring them and like pull them in tight and, you know, but when you see them, like the way they fall, they're baggy and they're meant to be kind of skinny jeans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're meant to be tapered. And you're like, dude, these things are so damn big.
Hey, but man, that's a good problem to have. You're not fitting in that. That's, you know.
No, it is a good problem to have, but it's also a really annoying problem.
Like it's an expensive habit.
It is an expensive habit to lose weight and look good.
Seriously, like fat guys, we need to band together and we need to do like a Plato's Closet for fat guys.
Bro, amen.
Like legit, just online. And yo, I got this shirt. I got these pants. Yo, who needs them? What's up?
Hey, guys.
I guess eBay.
I'm putting that in the universe. Whoever wants to buy Plato's Closet, not Plato's, Flato's Closet, .com, and sell it to us. It'd be great. Just saying.
No. But yeah, but it's the most ridiculous thing because I'm always like, And I got some shorts here and stuff that I want to get rid of, but I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, I don't know where to put them. Because here's the other thing. Like, I can give good clothes to Goodwill, but when I do, who's real? Like, is there really going to be some fat guy here in Orlando, or can I get somewhere else that's really going to need, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I think about.
Dude, it's to the point where I don't even donate my clothes to the Goodwill. I just give it to the church because I know they're going to find somebody to give it to. You know what I'm saying?
Good point. I didn't even think about that one. Good point.
Like I got rid of so much clothes. We just straight up put it in trash bags and we took it to the church. Like, dude, I don't fit into these clothes anymore. And they're like, oh, no, cool. We'll figure it out. And next thing I know, I go to church and there's some dude wearing my old shirt. I'm like, oh, shit. I used to have that shirt.
Awesome. So, looks good on you, buddy.
Yeah. And, you know. I have this suit that I was like waiting to fit into to use it, and now I tried it on like 3 days ago. It's too big. Now I gotta go get it tailored to use it for an event. So I'm like, Jesus, I can't win. Like, it's a huge win.
Don't it is. It's like a win, dude.
It's a huge win, but like I go back to saying, it's not the health part. The health part is like the biggest win of all time, but when it comes to the stylish Puerto Ricanness that I am over here, you know. David keeps calling me, you know, the hipster Puerto Rican. It's because I am. My wife made me into a hipster Puerto Rican over here. I like shit to fit and I like to look good, you know, and it's getting to the point where, you know, it's hard to shop at this point because I don't know what I fit into. And I'm afraid what I fit into today, I'm not going to fit into in a month from now because I'm not going to spend, you know, $35-$40, you know, on a pair of jeans that is going to fit for 3 weeks. And then I'm, you know, going to, you know, make it look all bunched up. So I'm just going to hold on to whatever little bit of clothes I have for right now until, you know, I hit the next major milestone. And then I'll, you know, buy some clothes then. But I think my size 60 belt has like 5 holes in it now.
That you had to make yourself, right?
Yeah, it has like 5 holes in it now, and now I'm about to make a 6 hole because
you gotta strap that. Yeah, keep on cranking on it.
Keep cranking on it, and coach told me that when I run out of room on that one, he wants the belt to put it up on the wall. So as soon as I hit go weight, I'm giving him the belt when I buy a new one. So
awesome, awesome.
That's gonna be. Yeah, dude. And he,
I bet you, I bet you're motivating a lot of people in that gym. Like, people come see you do jiu-jitsu and they're like, man, you know, it happens. It's great, man.
Dude, it's shout out to my homegirl, Jamie. Her and her husband, Chris, they both train. She's a brown belt beast of an athlete. She grinds it out harder than most dudes, bro. Like,
wow.
She gets full 100% respect. I met her when she was a blue belt, and she's a brown belt now. She got promoted back in winter, the winter promotions, and she's recovering from neck surgery and broken spiral fracture on her fingers from one of the competitions. So she knows the grind, right? And she looks at me and she goes, "Bro, I can't even recognize you anymore." And I'm like, "I'm the same guy." She was like, No. You look like the same dude in the face, but you are half the size. You have a different dedication. You are all these. And she's telling me all these things, man. And I'm looking at her, it's like, it's still same old Daniel. What the hell are you talking about, homie? Like, I'm just a man on a mission, you know? Like, I haven't changed. I still like freaking, you know, anime. I still like watching UFC fights. I still like hanging out with my wife. I don't really, you know, I like hanging out with you guys. I really haven't changed. Only difference is I'm not having beer. You know, I'm not having bread. I'm not having rice. You know, I'm eating more vegetables. I'm trying to live. You know, I hate to quote 100 pounds. I'm trying to live. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right there. Like, that's the change that she sees. Like, the fact that you can't control yourself, that you can say, you know what? I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do that. You know, that self-control right there, it's power, son. It's power and it's yours. Like, you can do it, and you should be able to look at it and be like, you know what? I can do this. I can't do that. And I'm going to do this because I can feed off of this. Like, it's amazing.
Dude, it's one of the greatest feelings in the world to know that I'm going to go to a bar, right? And I'm going to do one of two things. I'm going to have a water or a sugar-free lemonade. And I'm going to sit here. I'm going to order a burger on a lettuce wrap with veggies on the side. And the waitress looks at me with this perplexed face like, you don't want no fries?
Yeah, you don't want dessert?
No, bitch. I don't want no fries. And she says, on a lettuce wrap. Yes, bitch. On a lettuce wrap. I know I still look like a fat ass. Stop judging me and fulfill my fucking order. Like, that is my favorite. Like, you know, you're nicer about it because you don't want to seem like an asshole when you go to whatever restaurant you decide to go to that night because your wife wants to go out. But when you order that specific, they look at you like, can you just be a fat ass and order the shit that's on the fucking menu? like, no, I can't because one, I already don't know what you're putting in the meat. You know, like, it might be keto or low carb, but I don't know what you're putting in the meat. Mm-hmm. It probably already has some sort of breading in it to make it fluffier, right? But I'm not going to have the bread plus whatever sugar-filled cream you put on that and plus whatever barbecue sauce that you do not use that is not sugar-free. So you're going to tell me that you're going to try to feed me shit that your cookie cutter feed the rest of the world instead of, you know, fulfilling the order that I want. So half the time I just don't even eat. I just eat whatever I can at home, you know?
Yeah. And I'm the same way. The other day we went out for wings and I completely forgot to tell the lady, hey, listen, when you grill them, just don't put anything on them. Just give them to me, grilled. And she came out and they were coated in something. I go, I look at it, I smell it. I go, man, I go, Maria, this is, she bit into it. She goes, yeah, this is sweet. I was like, man. And the lady was like, you want me to, I'll make you more. And I'm like, no, don't even worry about it. This is my bad. Like, I don't want, because that's my thing too. Is like sometimes because I fuck up, I don't want her to pay end up paying for that because that legit was just my fuck up. Like I completely forgot to tell her about it.
Dude, and you know, I think that's why, like, if I do eat out, there's, like, a handful of places where I know.
And you
like,
have to, you have to know that because if that's the only way you're going to succeed. You have to know that, like, going in.
Like you're on keto, right? Like, you're full-blown keto for, like, over 400 days now. It's ridiculous.
Over 500. Right? Over 500, homie.
Okay, I'm sorry. Over 500 days.
That's 100 days, my man. That's 3 months. Let me tell you.
Bro, that's ridiculous. I'm trying to tell you, like. Like, it's ridiculous, the discipline you have. It's inspiring. But, you like, I'm sure you know the trick, right? When you go to, like, let's say Wingstop. You go, let me get veggie sticks and let me get, a rub. Like, a Louisiana rub where you know, and like, no sugar in it. You'll be like, that's, like, the only flavor I can do because it's salty. It's fried in shitty oil. But, damn, that's, like, the only thing I can have here because everything else is full of sugar. Everything else is full of this. Or even if then you're like, I don't feel like having that flavor, so I might as well just have them naked and deal with it, you know? And and people look at you stupid and they go, oh, he's that guy. Yeah, I'm that guy. Listen, it's hard to explain to people. And it's not that people don't empathize. It's that just sometimes they just don't understand. And I don't mean to like shit talk people that don't live the healthy lifestyle, because people that are, you know, that are bodybuilders, they get it. You know, people that are CrossFitters, they get the healthy lifestyle. But the regular person, the usual person that, you know, they go to their 9 to 5, they come home, they sit in front of the television another 6 hours before they go to back to bed, and then they get up the next morning and they complain about their lives. They just don't get it. We're not speaking the same language, right? While they're settling for McDonald's and that shitty ass dollar on you, I'm trying over here, I'm trying to fucking live. I'm grinding it out just like you every day, meal prepping 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week, whatever it takes, right? To make sure I succeed. And then they go, oh, you're disappearing. Bitch, the reason you're not disappearing, and I mean bitch because I don't know their names, right? The reason you're not disappearing and the reason you're not being healthy is because you're settling for less than what you're worth. Has nothing to do with that you can't do it. It's just like you're stuck in that marriage you hate, just like you're stuck in that job that you hate, just like you're not happy. It's the same reason. It all correlates because you're choosing to do things for less than what you're worth. And for me, and I'm sure you're going to echo this, I'm worth a lot more through my nutrition and through my choices and how to live my life through jujitsu and through my job than, you know, stuffing my face with shitty ass food. Like, it sounds so cliche, but it's cliche because it's fucking true. Because when you start valuing who you are as a person, you're not going to act the same. You know, I'm a Christian, and I know I talk foul mouth and all this, but, you know, children do childish things. Grown-ass men do grown-ass man shit. It's not the exact quote, but you get what I'm saying.
No, I do. Right? I do. But see, and here's the one thing, though. And I know going in, when you get those people who, the doubters, right? People who look at you like, oh, well, the reason they see is because how many people do they know? How many people do you think they come in contact with? Well, maybe in the same situation. Because look, realistically, what? A third or fourth of the American population is morbidly obese. So when everybody sees somebody, oh, well, you know, we're going to order this, and, you know, I'm on a diet. How many people do you think they see a day that go through that? And realistically, like, everybody, like, nobody really stays with it. That's why, no. That's why when somebody like me who loses 150 pounds and keeps it off is like, I'm looked at like I've done something amazing, and I'm not. It's just, I am worth more to my kids than something that I want to taste.
Dude, I don't have kids yet, right? But I do have a nephew. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, right? When he was first born, it's right before I got my surgery. Like, he was born 6 months before I got my surgery. And I look at those pictures when he was first born, and I see this Jabba the Hutt looking individual holding him. And I know it's me, right? Because I was there. Mm-hmm. But then I look at that person that's holding that beautiful child, and I'm like, how the fuck did that happen? Like, and it's not to be, and I hate to say it, it's not to beat myself up. It's because at this point in my life, I look back and I'm like, how the fuck did I let that happen? And it's not because I wasn't aware. It's that there was a bunch of reasons, you know. You can say I was depressed, which is true. You know, careless, yes. Horrible decision making, yes. The plethora, I can fill out the list of all the reasons why I got to that point. Like, I can fill them out, and I can tell you, when that 17-year-old kid messages me on Instagram and tells me, "Hey, dude, I see your progress. I'm amazed, but I don't know how I can do it." You know what? I feel for him because I knew exactly where he was. When they send me those messages, and I'm like, I know exactly where he was. I know exactly what he's thinking. He thinks, oh, he can do it, but I can't. He has it. He has help. I can't.
That's right? The craziest feeling, because I used to feel that way too.
Right? So it's like, I know exactly where he's coming from. And it's like, for me, right? For me, at 483 pounds, and I think I talked about this on the last podcast we did. Mm-hmm. I truly felt hopeless. Like, hopeless. Like people talk about being hopeless, and you know, and I'm gonna talk to some of you church folk out there that like to go. You go to church, and people say, "Oh, that hopelessness feeling." Like, people, there's different levels to this. You know, you're unemployed, you feel hopeless. You're addicted to drugs, you feel hopeless. No, but there's a unique kind of hopelessness where it's like, you're addicted to something that you need to live. Like, how much hopeless can you get when it's like, you're addicted to crack? You can kick that shit, right? Like, you can, yeah, it's hard. I'm not trying to like discount drug addiction at all. I'm really not. Like, it's something so super serious. But addiction to food is like, to me, it's like the being hopeless of the hopeless. But it's like, dude, I need food to live, and I'm fucking addicted to this shit. I can't stop. I can't stop myself.
Well, it's just it. I mean, the food was our crack. That's all it is. The food was our crack.
It was our dopamine receptors for sure.
Yeah, and that's all. And that's all it is. And you're absolutely right. It's very hopeless. You know, I remember there is nothing more hopeless than you being an adolescent teen looking at yourself in the mirror legit with man boobs and thinking, yo, if I took this machete outside of in my garage and I took care of these right now, what would happen? Like,
well, nigga, for sure, bro. Like, 100. Like, I mean that. Like, I'm sorry if that the words and the expletives keeps coming out of my mouth, but there's you 100%, bro. Like, I don't know about you, but there was a point in my life where I look at it, it's like, who would miss me if I shot myself?
Oh, believe me, this is something I've been wanting to talk about some because it is absolutely true. And I mean, I felt like that plenty of times, and it was just like, you know what? There's no, I didn't do it because it probably been too heavy for the six people who would have had to carry the casket.
Bro, what, bro, or my fear was, having the, you know, the firefighters break through a wall just to get you out.
Yeah.
Like I think about that and I'm like, oh my God. Right. And I say this, dude, I hate to say this, and I don't mean to like gas up my wife in the worst way, but God knew what he was doing when he sent my wife. Like, it was the catalyst for change, because it was like to the point of set my wife into my life. She broke up with me. Then she got back with me. And then it was almost, she didn't say anything. She never told me to change. She never asked for me to get healthy. She didn't. But was a point in my life where it was like, bro, she's with you. Look at you. Like, you look like fucking, like, who the fuck wants to fuck you? Yet she's fucking doing it. She's a fucking hero. Right? Like, mm-hmm. like I hate to sound like that, dude, but it's like that. And I'm like, she's a fucking hero.
Or you just she had game. Because that's what I say. I used to say, I go tell the people, dude, when I picked up my wife, I was fat. I got game, son. What are you talking about? Bro, I got game. You don't think I got game? I picked up this beautiful chick and I was fat. What do you think?
Homie. I get it. I got game too. I was a hoe. But it's after I got married, I gained
more weight.
Fuck, man. Like more weight. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I was like that cute chubby guy when I met her and we dated and we got married. All of a sudden we got like comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then I look in the mirror one day and I'm like, the fuck, you know, like who that?
But you know that? Think about this. Think about when your nephew's maybe 6 or 7 years old and he looks back at pictures when he was born and he's going to say that about you. He's going to say, who that?
I'm going to be like, that's me, mijo.
That's me.
No, they really? You were fat.
Kids are brutally honest. They're great.
Bro, I love it. It's fucking great. Like, it's great. Like, dude, it's crazy, right? Like, yesterday, I was hanging out with one of my good friends. We went to this baby shower because I'm at that age where everybody's either getting married or having kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and hours, and they're usually kind of uneventful. But it was kind of fun to go yesterday because there was this couple that we know from, you know, from before, and they recognized me. They said, hey, you lost a lot of weight. You look great. And then the daughter looks at me and says, like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm Daniel. And they go, you don't remember Daniel? No. Like, you don't remember me, but you remember my wife, right? She's like, yeah. You're her husband? I didn't know who you are. And I'm like, I lost a lot of weight. She was like, oh my God. Like she was like 8 years old. She didn't recognize me. And I was a little butthurt she didn't recognize me. But at the same time, I'm like, that's amazing that a little kid didn't even recognize me because I was so big, you know, that the transformation is ridiculous. And I'm still losing, dude. Like I'm still losing weight and I have, you know, like I like to say like my first major goal after surgery is to get to about 230. Mm-hmm. That's about 80 pounds from now.
Yeah. Which is, and let me tell you, when you hit that, you can be like, bro, I'm going to go for the gusto.
Lower.
Yeah, you really are. Cause I'm going to tell you, cause I used to say, yo, when I hit 250, I'm going to be happy at 250. I'm going to be amazing at 250.
And I'm sure you were. 250. And I'm sure you were.
Oh, I was a lot better at 250. You're right. But I'm like, why stop there? Why get off the stop? You're already on the fucking train. Why get off?
Dude, like I was, I don't know if you do this, but every now and then I'll go to like a BMI calculator on Google and I'll put in my current weight and I'll see my BMI and then I'll play with the numbers with my height, right? To see what normal would be. And normal BMI at my height starts at about 162 and down.
So how tall are you right now, Danny?
At the moment, I'm 5'6".
You're 5'6"?
Yeah.
All right. And I'm about to hurt your feelings.
I know. I'm about to lose like another, bro.
Bro.
Fucking kill me.
Bro. when you get under 300 pounds, I promise you, you're going to feel like you're 5'4". And you might be. Because,
bro,
I swear to God, I think I used to be 5'9".
Dude, that's what I felt like before.
And I'm like 5'6". I'm like short. I'm a fucking little guy. It's crazy. Like, I guess there was... Oh, it definitely pisses me off. I feel... Well, here's the thing. When I was bigger, I used to have a big man complex. Like, I felt like I was just huge. Like, I felt just, you know, and it wasn't built at all. It was obviously, I was just as wide as a fridge, so I felt fucking huge.
I get it. Like, I don't have that big man complex anymore. Like, no, I always used so to feel tiny. Like, bro, like, I look at you, I see the videos that you post when you're doing, like, when you were rolling with your son, right?
Yeah. That's amazing. That's an amazing feeling because, like, that's something I couldn't do before. Like, there's some, as I started losing weight, that I can roll with him. But realistically, there's actually a picture of me when I rolled out the Oreo wafer ghee when I was about 360. And it was just, if it wasn't because I was on my knees or whatever, like, there, me moving around like I did with him, there's no way I can do that. Ever would have been able to do that.
Dude, and I saw that picture, and my wife, she knows you through me, and mm-hmm. she kind of sees the pictures, because I'm always, as soon as I see one of your, like, transformations, I was like, babe, look at freaking what? And she goes, holy shit, like, she has this, kind of like, I think me, you, and David, you know, I think through Instagram and through this podcast, we've kind of built, like, this kinship, right?
Where, well, it's, like, not even that, dude. I think it's, I honestly think it's jiu-jitsu, because there's people I'm friends with that I've never met, but I feel so close to them solely because I know they've sweat on mats like I've sweat. And some of them I haven't even trained with, but it's just, I know, I already know who you are. Like, I feel like I know you.
Bro, and I think it's just like, you know, like jiu-jitsu guys, like you go to a tournament, like, yeah, like I think there's a lot of people you don't know at a tournament. Right. And before all the matches, there's this intensity of, like, I'm about to kill you. Right. But once all that shit's over, it's like everybody's a family. Legitimately, everybody is team jiu-jitsu.
Unless you're Herbert Santos.
Bro. I saw that. I'm still like, yo, what the fuck?
Bro, that doctor, all I know is that doctor had some magic fucking hands, because that doctor fucking rubbed his hands together, placed it on the knee, and he jumped up, ran, full sprint. I mean, like, seconds after he was like, oh, my fucking knee. Peter Griffin, my knee, my leg. And then jumped up to a full sprint. Yes.
Oh my god, dude, I'm so sorry about the coughing, guys. I'm honestly, like, all of last week before last Monday, I had the flu, and by God's grace, I was able to compete on Saturday and everything was fine, but I'm still coughing up half a lung.
Yeah, you just got everybody sick at the competition. That's it. You're that guy.
Dude, no. I took all my stuff. I wasn't sick, but it was just, you know, like in the warm-ups, like, I don't know if you rolled right after you're sick, right? When you're warming up, it was like your lungs are opening back up, and all of a sudden you sound like you're dying, but then once you're warmed up, you're fine. Mm-hmm. But like that warming up process, you start coughing crap out, and coach looks at you like, you're gonna survive. I'm like, I'm fine, bro. I'm good. And then you're like over here like, yeah.
No, you look at him, that's when you look at him, you said, no, I'm gonna die, but I'm gonna do him.
Bro, it's crazy, right? So Saturday night, after everything, me and my wife go to this concert, and kind of some of the more hippie shit we do in fucking Dallas, because I don't know, fucking artsy fartsy motherfuckers out here. We go to this concert, and a bunch of the jiu-jitsu homies kind of roll along, and they go, bro, they look at me, and this dude looks at me straight up in the eye, because I am like that. Most of the time, you know how it is, you know, when you're a white belt and you're there every day. Mm-hmm. Most higher belts only train maybe once or twice a week because they have lives. You know, white belts are obsessed and they don't go as much as – they go a lot
more. I train about 4 times a week, bro.
Bro, that's because you're on a mission like me. That's why. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, some people train during the day, or mm-hmm. they only go to the advanced classes or whatever. But like every fundamentals class, you know, Monday through Friday, I'm usually there. Like, I think today it hurt me so bad that I wasn't going. But I woke up, I told myself after Saturday that I was going to take a full 48 hours, no jiu-jitsu, let my body heal up. I was so freaking sore on Sunday. I'm still sore today. And my wife was like, don't do anything. And I'm like, but I have to. And she was like, if you go, you're going to hurt yourself even more. Like, and I'm like, but it's jiu-jitsu. We work around it. But she, you know, she has wisdom. So I stayed home. And but I'm usually there. And this dude looks at me and he goes, "Hey, man, when he first started, like, you couldn't even run, like, because my last school, we didn't do warm-ups. Our warm-ups were, you know, drilling, like drill positional for 3 minutes and then switch partners, right? Mm-hmm. Here, we do fucking warm-ups. Like, we run around the room. We do shrimps. We do high knees, like Carlson Gracie, old school, kill you before we do anything, right? Yeah. And, now, I'm the guy leading the class. I'm the guy setting pace. I'm the guy shrimping, doing shots, you know? And he looks at me, he's like, "Dude, how the fuck do you do it?" And I'm like, "You know why I do it? Because I'm stubborn enough to fucking die on the mat of an asthma attack trying to keep up with you fucking savages." That's the reason I fucking do it.
That's the truth. I know it feels that way sometimes. It definitely does.
Dude, but it's crazy that I'm the guy, you know, leading the fucking, like, setting pace. I'm the pace setter, you know. I'm the guy.
Feels good, doesn't it? In
front of the fucking, what?
It feels good.
It does, but it's awkward for me, you know, because there's these guys that are, like, in shape. And I'm the guy, you know, jogging, setting pace. And they're getting warmed up and getting sweaty. And then I see the new guys walk in, like, there's, like, the school's growing so much. And I'm happy for that because, you know, I want to see the success of everybody around me. And I see these guys and they're not keeping up. And I'm like, wow, how far have I come that even though I can roll, warm-ups were impossible for me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the difference, like the breathing patterns are different, you know? And I'm over here. It's like, I'm in pretty good shape. You know, I'm doing 15 minute warm-ups at a good clip. And these guys, you know, they can't even get around the mat one time without gassing out. I'm like, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Just remember you were there before too. Like I know, you know, it's the progression, especially like shrimping, watching people learn how to shrimp is one of the funnest things. And to me, like trying to teach somebody, cause it's, and I remember not being able to do that. I'm like, wow. You know, it's so crazy how simple it is. And it's like, what, dude, you know,
I recently just learned how to do a reverse shrimp. Like for the longest time, I'm like, I can't do a reverse shrimp. Like I just can't. Like I would try and I just looked like a weirdo, you know, trying to get my butt to go towards my feet instead of away from my feet. And then all of a sudden I just like it clicked and coach was like, "You finally got it." He was like, "It took you long enough." And I'm like, "Fuck you, dude." Pick on me some more.
So what's next for you? Are you, now that you've taken 48 hours off and stuff and you were doing 2-a-days, you got that momentum. What are you going to do?
Well, tomorrow morning I will be back at the gym. Nice. I'm going to be doing 45 minutes of cardio and, I will be at Nogi at 6 o'clock tomorrow. And then take it from there. And it's just kind of been my philosophy, like I did all of last year. One day at a time. Make good decisions one day at a time.
That's all you can do, brother. That's all you really can do. Like, and I really, I know I told you and David this. And this is something, you know, everybody needs to hear. Like, you know, my cheat day thing, that 500, if you look at it, like every day is a rep. Yeah. All it is. Every day is a rep. And you just work on that rep. You work on that day and guess what? If you fail, whatever, start over. But every day is a rep. And guess what? It's not like the first time I started keto, I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna do 500 a." No, I started keto in June for the third time in 2017 when I did it for the third time. And it wasn't until September when I had that cheat day. But even on that third diet, that third time I tried it, I had a cheat day. So it's not like from then on. So it's not like you go as long as you can. Just try it. And not necessarily keto. I'm just saying, you know, what you need to do. Look, I don't think keto, exactly. Keto's great for when someone's morbidly obese, right? Like I am. And you were talking about the BMI calculator, and I don't even need to look at it, you know, because my the scale I have does it for me, right? It does it in real time. And it pisses me off that still, like, at 211, bro, I'm still sitting at 31%. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm never going to go to 30%. Like, it's never going to happen. I'm always going to be morbidly obese, you know, at over 30. It just feels like it's never going to happen, right? And I'm like, I don't even care. It's great to see the number, and it's great to see the change. But those are just numbers, man. I feel fucking great.
No, and that's it, you know. It's an everyday thing, dude. Here's the thing. And I'm almost 100% sure you're gonna attest to this. Anything that's worth doing becomes monotonous, right? Because it's a lot of repetition. It's a lot of doing the same shit over and over and over and over. So you perfect it so much that it's just easy. But then that's when it's easy to fuck up, because it's too easy to fucking do. So you have to do it with more intent and more intention, you know. And it's one of those things where it's like, you just have to. You kind of, like Hickson says, it's not that jujitsu. It's like jujitsu. Black, but then you have to kind of, because of fundamentals, you have to do them even more, because they're the foundation of what you do. You have to do it with more intent, because yeah, you can do barambolos and all this crazy leg locks and crap, but if you forget to fucking shrimp, you know, you lost everything, you know. And it's, for me, it's, at this point, I'm still in the middle of it. I'm not anywhere near what I was, but I'm not anywhere near where I want to be. I'm somewhere in the middle, and it's getting to the point where it's easy to keep track of food. It's easy to do that, but it's because it's easy, because I can make good decisions, I have to be more aware. And I mean more aware, and more, pay more attention to what I'm doing, because dude, it's a slippery slope sometimes, man. It's like, yeah, you built these good habits and they're good, but because it's too easy, all of a sudden you're like, ah, it's easy. I know what I'm eating. That's fine. I kind of know the calorie count. No. That's when it's most important to keep track, right? That's when it's most important to have the integrity with yourself to do those things, to stick to the basics, to do the, you know, never go back to one. You go to step one and never go back to zero. And I'm over here, you know, I'm about step three, and because I'm at step three and I'm already like, oh, look, I've come so far. It's that mind plays tricks on you at this
point. Oh, it definitely does. Right now, I mean, it's easy to say, hey, I want to go celebrate, or I want to go do this, or I want to do that. And, you know, but nobody says it best like Jocko. Discipline equals freedom. And that's all it is.
It does. It's discipline takes a long time to build, but you can break it in a day. You can fuck it up in a day. And people don't realize, like, dude, there's just like, I use a lot of work examples, because it's like, and not to trash on any of them, because they're all really nice people and they all do their own things and not judging, but these ladies, every year, they do the Biggest Loser challenge at work, and they lose 50 pounds, and by April, they gained it back.
But that's not discipline. That's not discipline. That's them going on a diet. And it's easy to confuse that with somebody who's dieting for like a short amount of time, that they're disciplined. They're not. You know how unhappy they are. And that's the biggest thing. It's looking at what you eat and what you put in your mouth. If you look at it and you say, oh, I don't like this, but I have to eat like this because of this, that's where the mentality, like, that's where you set yourself up for fail. But if you go, man, this is the way I eat now and I like it, it's great, and you just, it's always good. It's always good. You never want to cheat, because this is all good food. If you go in and say, fuck, man, I got to eat this fucking chicken again and these veggies again. Man, I wish I really just had a fucking pizza. And this is how people live. I want to have that pizza. Man, I really want that cheat day. I want to have the hamburger with the bun and the shake. And they go, and every meal that they don't have that's not that, it just takes. I'm like, man, this is miserable. This is miserable. I'm just going to be happy when I have that. And that mouth pleasure is what we talk about. Well, you don't want that's you are worth more than that mouth pleasure.
100%. And don't get it twisted. And don't get it twisted. Does it mean that because I'm doing well and I'm disciplined enough to track my food, I'm disciplined enough to prep my meals, does it mean every now and then I don't want a fucking milkshake? Of course I fucking do. But I'm strong enough to be like, nah, I'm good. Because here's the thing. I have fucked up. I've had that milkshake when I wasn't supposed to. And all I end up is freaking praising that porcelain god. And I hate that feeling. I hate fucking throwing up the shit that I just put in my body. No, I ain't going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like that one time I had the donut, I fucking ended up throwing it up. So I just don't have donuts anymore. Why?
Because you know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Honestly, let me ask you. Did it really taste that good? Was it that good?
Too sugary. Like straight up. Like they didn't taste as good as I remembered. And that's the worst part, right? It's like I have this like thing in my head of how they used to taste like, and then I have them now, and it's like, ew. Like it's straight up. It's like that. It's like ew. I'll sit here. It's like have keto donuts. Those taste disgusting too. Mm-hmm. So I just don't have it. Like I just don't have that category of food anymore. Like the only thing I'll have, you know, from time to time is like my wife will make like keto mug cakes. Those are pretty good. Like. Yeah, I guess.
Okay, you know, one of my students' parents, her and her husband are doing keto, right? And you know, they're really good friends of mine, and she brought me some keto French toast sticks, right? And she even went ahead and brought me some of the no sugar syrup that she has that she uses, bro.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my God, that is amazing. I go, you never bring that back to me because it's so good. Like, I want to eat it all. But it was, I mean, it was really good.
No, yeah, dude, like, my wife learned how to make cauliflower arroz con pollo.
Bro, my wife does that too. And the cauliflower, like, it tastes almost the same. Like,
bro,
you don't even miss it.
Like, fuck. Like, I'm like, anything that has to do with cauliflower rice, right? Like, let it be cauliflower fried rice, cauliflower arroz con pollo. Bro, I'm like, please make that all the fucking time. She was like, why? Because now I feel like I'm not missing anything. Like in the beginning, especially in the early parts of, you know, the surgery where my food choices were really limited. Like I was miserable. Like I'm stuck to like freaking eggs and, you know, like a small piece of bacon. And now, even though I don't eat a lot, I have more variety of foods that I can stand. And now, even though I don't eat real rice, I'm having something that kind of tricks my mind into thinking it's having rice.
Bro, it tastes just as good. I don't know. I don't think it's a trick. It tastes really damn good.
Bro, the flavor's there. The texture isn't the same.
But I think the flavor's there because of the sofrito. Like, you put enough sofrito, it's like, it's there. It's boom. It's,
bro, put that sofrito on that adobo, you'd be straight, right?
Yeah.
but still, it's like it looks like arroz con pollo. It tastes like arroz con pollo. Like, are you fucking with me? Is this the real thing? Or is this like the keto? Like, it's like that. And even, like, the fucking fried rice, like, when she makes, like, fucking the cauliflower fried rice, which is kind of like a Friday thing, when it's easy to make for her, it's, like, 20 minutes in and out, you know, we're done. And it's like, I'm over here, like, don't even put the rice away. I'm only going to have, like, a half a cup now, come back in about an hour, have another half a cup. Like, don't fuck with it. Just leave it there.
Just leave it there. I'm going to eat it.
I'm like, gonna eat it all at once, but you know, I'm gonna eat it, relax, and I'm only gonna have like 300 calories over like six cups compared to like 700 calories in a half a cup. So we'll be fine. We're good. You know, and shit like that, dude. It's ridiculous, like how, especially like my wife, man. I tell her all the time that she's the reason that I'm like so successful, because even though we prep our food, dude, she's so good at, while I'm at the gym, and because, you know, I'm sure you know, you leave the house early, and because of jiu-jitsu and because of, you know, training, sometimes you don't even get home till after dark, and like 8 o'clock, 8:30, almost 9 o'clock.
Oh, that's definitely me. Like, I barely see my wife sometimes.
But I come home and my lunch is packed already. She preps the coffee machine for me in the morning, and I'm over here like, she's a rock star, dude. Mm-hmm. Because if it was up to me trying to do this by myself, I'm like, dude, I don't have enough time in the day. Fuck it. You know, hungry man's to dinner tonight. like legit. And she's just a rock star, bro. Like, without her, half this weight wouldn't have come off. Like, I would have had the surgery. I would have had early success, and I probably would have fucked up horribly. But because she's been like 100% part of the lifestyle and part of the support, dude, I'm having so much success. And I'll tell you this, she's always like joking that I'm gonna leave her when I become to this like super sexy motherfucker. I'm like, if I leave you when I'm super sexy, I'm an asshole.
So yeah, you definitely would really? Be. I would definitely call you that.
I'm like, you're fucking stuck with me. It's just like, we might have to bring along Eva Mendez, but you're stuck with me. She's not going anywhere, bro. She's too fucking awesome. So, when are we going to do the Fat Fleet Jiu-Jitsu Summit? That's what we got to do. We're going to do a Fat Fleet Jiu-Jitsu Summit. Everybody who trains and listens to Fat Boy, we got to do like a Disney Gracie Summit style Jiu-Jitsu.
So, that actually might be in the works. And I'm talking to somebody in the Panhandle, in the Florida Panhandle, and that actually might work. That actually is going to may happen. We were going to try to shoot for spring 2019, but it may be fall of this year.
Bro, let me freaking know, man.
I got to iron out details and stuff. And what what really happened too was I feel like an asshole for not remembering, and I should. I forgot the last hurricane that ripped through Florida, through the Panhandle. And because it didn't cause any damage to me, I completely forgot the name of it. Damn it. But anyways, that last hurricane.
Like there's like a hurricane every four.
Man, but it doesn't. Like, it does. When I, you know, when I talk about some hurricanes, like, I know a lot of hurricanes that cause damage. And this one, for some reason, it's just like, gone. But this last hurricane, like, really screwed up the Panhandle. And it kind of put some, you know, it really stressed out some of the gyms up there. A couple of them had to close. It was really bad, and some of them have reopened. Legit, just a week or two ago, my friends, the Hillian Gracie Academy, in I think it was New Haven, I forget, but it just got power. Like, they've been running on generators.
Oh, wow.
They legit just got power, two or three weeks ago. Like, think about that. That's crazy.
Oh, wow. I know the photographer, Mike Kalimba, his academy got shut down. He's been kind of teaching his students out of his garage for the last year since Hurricane Harvey down in Houston.
Oh, yeah. That was terrible.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know him personally. Mm-hmm. But I do know, I see him on Instagram, and I've seen him at a couple of events here in Dallas, you know, but I know that he's been having to do that. I don't know the exact details, but Hurricane Harvey destroyed the Houston area. So all the gyms on there, you know, a lot of them suffered. But dude, it'd be so dope to kind of get, you know,
bunch of these. And that's in the Panhandle. So it's not too far from you. I mean, it's far. Let me give it.
It's about 10 hours. 10 hours.
10 hours.
I mean, that's a Louisiana, then the Alabama, Mississippi, Florida. Boom.
Yeah, just slide right into Florida. But yeah, so that's something that's truly in the works. And as soon as I get more details, we'll release it. And as soon as everything's finalized, we'll release it. But yeah, that is something that's that's in the works. And it I don't want it to be, I mean, it is 100% just going to be jiu-jitsu. But, you know, I want people to come, and if they need to ask me about anything, like, I will be there for anything.
Dude, anything you need, I'm offering my services now. Anything you need in the process for that, just let me know. I'd be happy to help. I can't teach because I am not qualified to teach, but I can definitely, you know.
But see, that's what there's something to learn. Everybody has something to teach about jiu-jitsu. If you don't believe that, I mean, everybody has something to teach somebody. Like it really is, and that's a beautiful thing about our art.
Dude, and I think I've told you before that whenever you're in the Dallas area, you have a home over here.
I appreciate that.
It's definitely one to train, and two, you got a bedroom ready and willing for the jiu-jitsu heads to hang out. But, dude, that'll be so dope to fucking get some cool jiu-jitsu guys and put them all together in the same room and just fucking.
That's the plan. That's the actual plan, and you know, we got to find out who's gonna want to come and who's gonna want to, you know, teach some things. So that's all it. But. And I want to be respectful of your time, my man. I know you got to go. You're working in the morning. So I appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing us your experience. Man, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, man, for having me on.
Where can everybody reach you?
Okay, so I've updated a little bit. All right. It's not just Facebook and Instagram. I mean, it's not just Instagram and Twitter. Now it's a Facebook page as well. So everything's, if you follow me on Instagram already, at Sleeve Poppy, all the links are there in the bio. At Sleeve Poppy, SLEEVED PAPI. So follow me, shoot me a like, shoot me a DM. I respond to as many people as I can. Me and my wife are in the process of getting our podcast, Marriage Roles, as in Jiu-Jitsu Roles, awesome. Put together.
Don't be stealing that name.
Nah, dude, we already got it on lockdown.
Oh, all right. That's awesome. All right. You got to protect it. That's great.
All right. It'll be out soon. We're just trying to figure out some of the hosting, but we got the everything else kind of locked down. It's really, at this point, it's figuring out what direction we want to take the podcast. I definitely want to, if it was up to me, it'd be 100% jiu-jitsu. But since my life is involved, it can't be.
So at least it's 50% cannot be jiu-jitsu related.
I know. She's into the sport. Don't get me wrong. She started to train too, and she's into the sport, but she's more into the health and fitness side of the sport than the actual sport itself.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you this, after the tournament, she it lit a little fire underneath herself looking at some of the other women compete. So it was awesome to see her be like, oh, I can fucking do this. And I'm like, yes. I'm over here like the meme, like the Kermit meme, like, yes. Drink the Kool-Aid.
Yep, drink the Kool-Aid. Get on in.
Bro, it was great, and it was such a fun experience. Some really good matches. Dude. I know that the coasts are known for jiu-jitsu, you know, Florida, California, but I'm telling you, the third coast, Texas, their jiu-jitsu. No, and I mean this, having lived in both California and Florida, Texas jiu-jitsu is the new renaissance going into the next decade. And as California prices start going up and Florida start going up, a lot of schools are going to start relocating here than they already have. And they have a lot of people here. And Texas is going to be one of those states where a lot of jiu-jitsu, a lot of good jiu-jitsu is going to come out. And you guys aren't going to, it sounds crazy now, but in 5 years, you're going to be like, damn, Daniel, that dude's from Texas. And I'm like, I told you.
Well,
it's crazy.
If you want to join Daniel, move to Texas, get a fucking lion, and train with him. Take it easy, Daniel.
All right, dude. Talk to you later, man.
Peace. Hey, welcome back. And glad you listened to the podcast. I know we had some technical difficulties early on, and I appreciate for you guys. Appreciate you guys keeping on and listening through. And hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Once again, like I said, if you need to talk to somebody, please reach out to me or reach out to the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Fat Boy Podcast. Have a nice day.